Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. An hour from now, Elliot Shore Parks will join us. And a big story this morning on Bill Belichick and what happened there, why he didn't get a job, and did the Eagles have some legitimate interest? We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. Ask Elliot what he thinks about the fallout there and the future with Belichick in the NFL, obviously keeping Sirianni for 2024. Daily Mock later in the show, a What If Wednesday. So much to touch on here. Your phone calls on the Sixers. Is tonight a legacy game for Joel Embiid? Yeah, it is.
Weird to say, but it kind of feels.
Well, when you don't have a legacy, you got to start building one.
Yeah. It starts somewhere. Got to start somewhere.
Well, I feel it is a legacy game. I mean, I don't want to hear any excuses tomorrow. I just Everyone's telling me he's healthy. They better. If Joel Embiid is the player that we talk about him as, you got to beat the Heat at home.
You do. I mean, there's nothing I can say to push back on that. You do. You definitely do.
I feel like it's almost like a one way legacy game for Joel Embiid. Like if he wins it, nobody's going to be sitting here like, oh, like Joel Embiid got over the hump. Beat Jimmy Butler in a playing round.
I agree with that.
But if you lose, I mean, come on.
Well, if you lose, the defenders and the apologists are just really in a bad spot. I mean, we just call it for what it is. They have to win this game. And I know he was trying to sell me on they could beat the Celtics in the first round if they lose tonight and then they beat the Hawks or the Bulls. They're not beating the Celtics the first round. This team needs a runway to get there. All right, your calls on Joel Embiid and the Sixers tonight against Jimmy Butler. And, of course, the Phillies last night, a nice win, 5-0. Ranger Suarez with a complete game shutout. But yesterday, as we left and we handed it over to the new afternoon show, and I heard them yesterday trying to debate how long they'll call themselves the new afternoon show. I'm not sure what the statute of limitations is, but it's new right now.
It's like when we started. Ban down on people welcoming Hugh back.
Oh yeah.
After a year, I mean that was way too long.
Time. Yeah. Way so too. I don't know how long the afternoon show is new. It was new yesterday, and one of their first discussion points was Howie Roseman and Sirianni, but mostly Howie talking yesterday, pre-draft press conference. And look, was I listening for little things that we might take away about the draft next week? Sure, that's why we're all listening.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to say anything, right? Howie's not going to give away
who they're drafting.
No way. Maybe certain things you kind of pick through and you comb through. You're like, what did he say there? But one thing that did come up, and I actually thought Howie was a little bit unprepared for the conversation, because he hasn't spoken since the Hassan Reddick trade. So Howie had to know these questions were coming. Here's Howie on the Reddick trade. First time answering questions since it went down.
First time talking since the Hassan Reddick trade. I guess what went into the decision to move on from a player that's still reasonably in their prime, and how hard will it be to make up for that production?
Great player. You know, Hassan had a great 2 years in Philadelphia, obviously. You know, Camden kid, played at Temple. Couldn't have been more excited to sign him. So it's bittersweet to lose a player and a person like that. As the offseason went along and we added Bryce, who we're incredibly excited about, brought back Josh, drafted Nolan Smith in the first round. BG came back. We have some young guys at that position who we're excited to develop. And through the conversations with the Jets, we felt like it was a win-win situation, but always hard to get rid of players and people like Hassan.
So that was interesting. Howie seemed a little somber there. It didn't seem like he was, first of all, thrilled to answer the question during a draft press conference. And second, Hugh, I didn't sense a pep in his step answering that question, almost like reluctantly we traded this guy.
Well, and I don't understand. Like, help me understand, or maybe I missed something. When he said it was like, it wasn't a one-for-one trade, Bryce Huff and Hassan Reddick.
No. No. One was a signing, one was a trade.
Yeah, and he made it feel like it was a win-win. Like it almost felt like we traded, like, hey, we got one player and you got the other player. It didn't work out like that.
No.
Because Bryce Huff was here first, if I'm not mistaken.
By
correct?
Weeks. It wasn't even like, you know, within the same week. It was, Bryce Huff was, right, for weeks. So that was kind of weird. But then it got weirder. So Howie Rosen, and I'm going to defend our guy.
It got
Dave,
weirder?
Yeah, it got weirder. Our guy Dave Uram asking a totally fair question to Howie Roseman, and Howie seemed to get testy here with him.
Follow up on Hassan, you referred to it as bittersweet and a win-win. What do you think the upside is for trading Hassan for the conditional pick a couple of years down the line?
Well, the pick's not conditional. We're getting a pick, so I don't really think I understand the question.
It's a third round from a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what do you think the upside is for trading Hassan with a year left in his deal in his prime for the pick that you've got?
Well, I think you're asking a question in a vacuum without all the other factors. So, I mean, if we want to talk about all the factors that go into building the team and the resources that we put into each position, we can do that. But I don't think the question's really fair and accurately describes the transaction.
I mean, to this point, I mean, it's not zero sum just yet because we don't know what the pick could potentially be. But as far as asking the question, I think it was a fair question. Actually, what do you think the upside is to trading away a guy that is a proven veteran?
And it can help you now for something down the line.
Yeah, I caught it. I totally caught that. And it's one of those things where I honestly feel, by the way he answered the question, that there was a lot behind the scenes that went on with one of the reasons why Hassan Reddick was traded.
Certainly could be. And maybe he didn't want to say everything. I heard this morning when I was driving in, Ruben Amaro actually called in. He wasn't on the show today, but Ruben called in to the Cameron Ritchie in the morning show because they were discussing this. And Ruben obviously has the experience being in a GM seat, can't maybe say everything you want to say. Howie usually is very confident with what he does and just explaining why he did what he did.
Yeah, he wasn't that time.
No, it sounded to me like he was annoyed this was even a question. And I wonder if part of it is Howie is like knows he lost the deal or doesn't feel like he won this deal and he doesn't want to boast about it because he got fleeced.
Being a guy who's been in one of these situations before, there's a lot that is said during these negotiations or these talks that is never brought to light. And it sounds to me like they were at an impasse, that they just weren't going to see eye to eye on this, and they just decided to part ways. Just fish and cut bait.
So,
you know what I mean?
And I think you're right. I think they were just decided they were going to move on from Hassan Reddick. 215-592-9494. Let me ask you this question, because yesterday when Howie was asked, I was hoping to get something to make me feel better about the Hassan Reddick trade. Like, maybe I could talk myself
closure.
Into this. Closure.
Closure. You want a closure.
I still don't have it, and I have not talked myself into this.
And you ain't going to get it.
Well, but Howie didn't help by sitting up there being defensive about it.
You're not going to get it.
He didn't help me.
You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it because.
Then why isn't he here?
Why isn't he here?
Yes.
Nah, that's the million-dollar question, Joe. But, I'm not going to give you an answer, but I could help probably ease your pain just a little bit. Look at the timeline for all of this.
Okay.
Like, and I'm going back to the beginning of the season, and Hassan Reddick wants to be paid. He wants to be compensated, you know, and there was talks about him and his compensation. There was a mini holdout.
Oh, his hold-in when
well,
he was
mini
at,
hold-in, whatever
at
you
practice,
want to say.
But
yeah,
not practicing, yeah.
So now the season starts. Hassan Reddick feels, and I'm speculating. I don't know this to be true, so don't nobody get upset. I'm speculating. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody. I'm just trying to read the tea leaves, you know. He goes out, and he has another double-digit sack season. But in the wake of him having that double-digit sack season, he has not graded out the greatest as far as his assignment football is concerned. And that's where the Eagles are looking at, like, yeah, you know, he's probably looking at his camp and say, hey, man, we gave you 11 sacks. And the Eagles camp is looking at it like, hey, well, you didn't play the way that we wanted you to play. Our Reddick's team was probably like, hell, nobody played the way that you want to play, because if you look at that defense, that was a Keystone Cops out there.
Mm.
Bottom line is this. They were at an impasse. The Eagles didn't – he wanted to be paid more money. The Eagles didn't want to pay him any more money. He didn't want to be here. The Eagles said, okay, since you don't want to be here, you have an opportunity to go out and find some money somewhere else. That didn't happen. He still didn't want to be here. So now he's gone. And another thing, I haven't looked at the wire or anything, but if the last time I checked, I don't think there has been any talks, and it might be just because they're keeping it under wraps, but there hasn't been any talks between him and the Jets and a contract extension thus far.
Well, there's not been a contract yet. Maybe they've talked, right? But there's been no contract.
There's not been any discussion. Well, no public discussion.
Sure. Of
a contract.
It sounds like that was a fair and decent way to try to talk yourself into the Hassan Reddick not being here.
Wait a minute. What you mean?
I'm trying to help.
I was trying to help you out.
No.
Guess what? He ain't here. So,
you know what I wanted yesterday from Howie? That question could have been answered very simply. We're really excited about the edge rushing group we have now. We're excited to have an extra pick down the line to add more good players to the Eagles. It sounded to me like he knows he got had in this thing, and he's upset about it. There was no confidence from him yesterday.
He got had.
He got had by the Jets. There's no reason Reddick shouldn't be on this team. Dave Uram asked a damn good question.
He did.
What's the upside to trading a good player now for a pick down the line?
See, I don't look at it like that. I look at him as trying to be fair and balanced and just not say anything negative about Hassan Reddick.
But he didn't if he said, we're really excited about the edge rushers we have now, we're excited to use that pick down the line. That nothing bad about Reddick. He's not even excited about what he has. 215-592-9494. I wonder if people have talked themselves. What is that? Did Howie come across confident to you?
There's a little bit of a reach. I think he was just reflective. He was reflective. He was more reflective than anything.
He was combative. He said it was a dumb question.
In the beginning of the question, he was reflective. In the second part of the question, yes, he absolutely was combative.
And he's not usually. That is why it stood out to me.
He's tired of y'all media members.
Well, I'm tired of him trading away a good player. He screwed this one up. 215-592-9494. How he addressed the Reddick thing yesterday for the first time. Have you talked yourself into it? Because Hugh obviously has. Hugh has talked himself into this the day it happened.
Are you serious?
You have.
No, I've not talked. Like, the only thing, I'm looking at it from the perspective of I can see why they did it.
That's talking yourself into it.
No,
It is me
hearing what's being said and having some basic understanding of what's going on. That's it.
Being fed BS and laughing
at textbook definition.
Nobody asked you to jump in on this.
Right, Joe, ask me.
This is the textbook definition of talking yourself into a move the team does.
I can't believe this.
All right, Kyle, have you talked yourself into the Reddick move after Howie explained whatever he said yesterday?
I appreciate you tagging me in. And it was a bad trade. Yeah, and I need everybody to stop. You said this too. I need Howie to stop. I need everybody else to stop talking about Bryce Huff when we talk about this Hassan Reddick trade. Bryce Huff did not come back in the deal. All those guys that Howie mentioned about having on the D-line, Nolan Smith, Josh Sweat, Bryce Huff, guess what? We could have had that, and we could have had Hassan Reddick.
They were all here.
Get it through everybody's head.
See, that's what I think. Well, Howie said win-win. He lost me with that. It's not a win-win.
It was not a win-win. It's a win for the Jets.
You know what this was? This was the type of trade that if it was reversed and Howie did this to the Jets, we'd all be clowning the Jets, talking about how Howie got one over on the New York Jets. How do you let that talented of a player walk out the door for something that right now is worth nothing to you? It's a miserably bad trade, and I'm not talking myself into it. Anybody who has is in pure denial.
I wonder if yesterday was Howie, that was real. Howie's usually very confident after he makes the deal because he knows he wins the deal most of the time. I don't think he won this deal. This is it's a future pick. We'll see what it becomes. But right now, they'd be a better team at Reddick. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to Howie yesterday, everything from that press conference, but especially the Reddick thing, because he came off ticked, almost as if he didn't want to talk about it. Dude, then don't trade the guy. I mean, if you don't want to talk about it, then don't trade him. He traded him. He got asked a fair question, and Howie is not typically combative. That stood out to me. And of all people, going after Dave Uram.
Yeah, but listen, that ain't the first time that Dave Uram then got under people's skin.
He asked good questions.
He really, really does, and he does not give two cares about how you feel about him.
Good.
I mean, got a job.
He's what you call a dogged reporter.
That's right.
He's a man.
He's not talking himself into things like some people.
Hold up. See,
I did not talk myself into it for a month.
I have been rational throughout this whole thing, unlike some other people that I know that tend to be a little irrational.
Here's what's irrational. Trading away a good player in a year I'm supposed to win a Super Bowl.
And you're right. But
for nothing,
what I try to do on a day-to-day basis, Joe, is to take you behind the curtain. You and Kyle, for that matter. Take y'all behind the curtain just a little bit. But y'all just don't want to hear. Like, you get stuck on where you want to be, and you just don't want to hear nothing that nobody has to say. You just want to just be whatever it is, like just stubborn.
Are the Eagles a better team now that Hassan Reddick's gone?
No.
I think they have a better pass.
Q. Stop. Are the Eagles a better team than when they had Hassan Reddick?
A better pass rusher.
Are they a better team than when they had Hassan Reddick?
To answer your question, Kyle, I think they're going to be a better coach team with better coach players. So, I do.
You know what this? You know what this is? This is like a 5-star restaurant getting rid of a big-time chef and then saying, do you think the menu looks nicer? Yeah, it looks nicer on the menu. At least the food is good.
Well, that is not the same analogy.
Yes, it is.
Maybe the chef wasn't passing all the the requirements you needed to have a healthy kitchen. Like, what do they call it when the food inspector comes in and gives you a grade?
Health inspection?
That's what I said food inspector. The health inspector. Yeah, he's not, you know what I mean?
That's a big accusation.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? But it's like food analogies. It's relevant to the situation.
It'd be like if Steve Carell left the office and everybody was like, you know, it's going to be just fine.
I'm telling you, I have a strong feeling that Hassan Reddick was not grading out great as far as playing defensive end. That's what I feel it was. And I feel part of that was because he was out there being a renegade. I really, really do.
Well, that's wonderful.
And that sounds like Vic Fangio propaganda to me.
The whole thing's propaganda.
I see where we're going with this. I'm just going to be the Eagle apologist today. And that's not where I am.
No one called you that.
No, you ain't got to call me that shit. You've been insinuating it all morning.
No, all I said is you talked yourself into this deal. Day one.
Fired.
You did.
I did not talk myself into it.
Day one, when the trade went down, you weren't upset.
I was not upset. I'm not upset because I'm trying to see the rationale behind the trade.
I don't care. I know their rationale.
See, I know you don't care.
I know their rationale, and it was dumb.
You just refuse to be rational. You just refuse to be rational.
What if they're being irrational? Then me being irrational back, it evens the whole thing out.
I think they're being cool and calculated.
They are, but they also got rid of a good player for a pick down the line. Fair question yesterday. I thought Howie handled it poorly. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Tonight, Sixers and the Heat, confident, nervous, and would you call this a Joel Embiid legacy game? It is. I know it's only a 7-8 game. It's a legacy game. He's got to start stacking positive moments in the postseason. Enormous night for Ranger last night. This guy is a tremendous starting pitcher right now who's pitching as well as anyone in baseball. And, of course, the Reddick stuff yesterday. Your reaction to what Howie said, his reaction. And have you talked yourself into this whole thing with Hassan Reddick? I haven't. Kyle has. We know someone around here certainly has. Alex in Springfield. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you doing, guys? It's a pleasure.
Hey, Alex. What's up, pal?
I just had this thought that I don't know that anybody's mentioned yet, but I thought the most important thing in what Roseman had to say was the very last sentence when he used the phrase to get rid of him. So to me, there's some underlying reason why they did.
Well, you're probably right, Alex. I mean, I think money is probably the biggest reason, and they didn't want to pay.
And I think that, like I've been saying, I don't think he graded out that great as a defensive end. I really don't.
Well, yeah, that you might be right, but there may also be something else. Like maybe they did want him to stay, but maybe something that wasn't worth keeping.
Well, that's it, right? They obviously made the determination, and Alex, good phone call. They made the determination. It's almost like a scale, right? Like you tip the scales one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
They weighted as it was not worth keeping him here. And we'll find out as the season goes on.
He was more of a liability than an asset.
And that might mean his play. And Hugh, I don't disagree with any of the stuff that you've assessed. Like maybe he was selling out for sacks and he wasn't playing his position as soundly. I think you're right. I mean, I think that's probably fair, but they also determined it wasn't worth trying to make it work.
Yeah,
and that is
that's what it was.
I question that.
That's
that
what it was.
Logic.
And you know, it's one of those things where we don't know again, and I'm not trying to put it all on Hassan Reddick's shoulders, but we don't know what the dynamic was in that locker room. Obviously, it was fragmented because it went the way that it went. And no matter how much they tried to tell us that it was not that big of a deal, or somebody tried to say it wasn't a big of a deal, it was a big enough deal to get him out of here. Like, I mean, think about, like, if you want to, like, that on top of whatever he graded out as, it was a big enough deal to get him out of here.
Well, certainly. That's why he's not here.
Yeah. And you know, there was, you know, like I said, speculation that he was not one of the better teammates. I don't know that to be true. I mean, because that's one person saying one thing, and that's it. So I don't know what the issue was in that locker room.
I think this whole thing is silly. I mean, I just think they moved off a good – I mean, Howie at first is gushing about local kid, good kid, you know, really good years with the Eagles, and now he's not here anymore.
Yeah.
I just think they made a mistake on this one, and Howie usually wins trades, and when he doesn't win a trade, he obviously doesn't want to talk about it. I mean, that he's very open to talking about trades we all like and that he likes because he usually wins them, and he's good at it. And he usually throws out lines like, well, both teams got what they wanted, right? He kind of softens the blow and he rips off another GM. In this one, he got questioned like, hey, what's the upside of trading a good player now for a pick that won't help for years? And he got defensive about the whole thing. PJ's up next. What's up, PJ?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Good, PJ. What's up, pal?
So, three things that I got out of the Howie Roseman interview. One, they want us to think that there's going to be an O-lineman drafted. Two, there was something with Hassan that created a problem in the locker room or something, some relationship was messed up and it wasn't going to be fixed right then. And three, Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni are just like useless in the interview. They don't really give you much to work with, and it's just listening to a broken record.
Well, especially, you know, these kind of pre-draft things here, PJ, because Howie's not going to tell you anything.
Never tells you anything.
They don't want to give away their strategy. As far as the Sirianni aspect of it, PJ, I don't even know why he was there yesterday. The first 15, I mean, they didn't even want to let him talk. The first 15 minutes, it's just Howie talking.
Yeah, it was just kind of, it felt weird. It didn't feel like an NFL head coach having a interview with his GM or a press conference with his GM. It felt weird.
It did. Yeah, it felt like it was almost like he was a sidekick. He was just there with them. PJ, man, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, they don't want him to talk.
It's felt sidekickish since the end of the season.
Well, yeah. Well, I bet the Eagles are also terrified that Sirianni is going to reveal something about their draft plans by accident.
Well, I guess if it's not, I don't know if it's that, but.
Oh, if I was Howie, I'd feel terrified.
It's like the last couple of months, I'll say this. Coach has not done himself any favors by communicating with the media sometimes. In the last couple of press conferences, it's left more people scratching their head more than anything. So I think that's probably why. Just let Howie speak.
Yeah, I mean,
this is what Howie usually does around this time,
sure.
You know, getting ready for the draft and everything. So just leave it like that.
Right. I know it's probably an NFL mandate that the head coach and GM or, you know, drafter, decision maker have to talk before the draft. Mm-hmm. It probably is. Otherwise, they wouldn't do this. But unless it's a hard and fast rule, I don't even know why Sirianni took the podium yesterday. What is he there for? To just nod
moral
along?
Support.
Moral support. It's like, all right, I tune in, or I'm going to hear Howie and Sirianni barely talks. He didn't need to be there. That was a Howie press coverage. Your reaction to what he said about Hassan Reddick? I just thought he was testy. I thought he was on edge talking about this thing. You made the trade. Like, the Eagles moved on from Hassan Reddick. I still have not talked myself into this. Obviously, Kyle hasn't. Hugh has. I mean, you have. I mean, you've talked yourself into the idea that this made
because
sense.
Because I'm getting ready for this season. I'm getting ready for the draft. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ready for the draft, and hope springs eternal. And I am also on board with letting these young guys get in the shot.
See, it's all about the Thundercats.
It's all about the young Thundercats.
I knew it.
Right.
Yeah, it is. All right, 215-592-9494. Ranger Suarez, dominant last night. Your reaction to the complete game shutout by the Phillies. Number three pitcher is pitching way better than that level right now. He's not pitched like a number three. Tonight, confident, nervous, gut feeling on the Sixers. And would you say it's a legacy game for Joel Embiid tonight? I absolutely believe it is. This is one. It's a kind of a standalone winner take all, because the eighth seed is a bad path to the playoffs. It's seven. That's how the Sixers have to go. And when we get back, along with all this Reddick stuff and your action, Howie, we got to get into this wild ESPN story this morning about Bill Belichick.
Can't wait.
Why didn't he get hired by anyone? How close was he? And how much interest did the Eagles have? More than you might believe. 215-592-9494. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The future of medicine is here at QC Kinetics. QC is the nation's leader in the most exciting revolution in pain management we've seen in decades, regenerative medicine. If you try it, if you're tired of your achy joints, if your joint pain is keeping you from doing what you love, you need to call my folks at QC Kinetics right now. Surgery, steroids, drugs, these are no longer your best options. Regenerative medicine at QC Kinetics is transforming lives with innovative treatments that deliver lasting results. We're talking natural biologics here, people, using your body's own power to repair and restore damaged tissue. QC Kinetics is under the leadership of National Medical Director, Dr. Mitchell Shinecup. Dr. Shinecup is a pioneer in this field with 20 years of clinical work, tons of research, teaching, publishing, et cetera, et cetera. He wants to get you relief with a needle and not a knife. Call QC Kinetics now to learn more about these exciting options. This is a revolutionary approach that can get you long-term relief without no downtime. Call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation at 215-999-3000. 215-999-3000. One more time, 215-999-3000. QC.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Elliott joins the show coming up at 12. He is at the NovaCare Complex. Some Eagles talk today, start of the voluntary portion of the scheduled OTAs. Jalen Hurts in the building. I saw that. So we'll talk to Elliott coming up. And I know he has some strong opinions on what Howie said yesterday. Also strong opinions on the story that came out this morning. Now, this was fascinating. So the story headlined at ESPN, Inside Bill Belichick's Failed Offseason Job Hunt. So when the season ended and Belichick was out in New England, I think there were, what, 8 openings across the NFL?
Yeah.
And there was an assumption Belichick would get one of these jobs. Obviously, we know he did not. So story today about how close was he, what happened with the Falcons, because that's what everyone thought. He'd be in Atlanta and they would hire him. They didn't. They went with Raheem Morris. So, Hugh, a couple things hit me from this story. Number one, the idea that Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, in essence, didn't put the greatest word in. The way I read it, he kind of sabotaged Belichick's chances, which is a total joke by Kraft. The guy made him who he is, and he's trashing him on the way out. So that's one. But this is the one that caught my attention from our perspective, okay? So this is from the article this morning, ESPN. Owners and executives, even on teams that didn't have openings, discussed Belichick. Among them were the Eagles, who were coming off a disappointing finish 1 year after a narrow Super Bowl loss. Owner Jeff Lurie and general manager Howie Roseman, both Belichick fans, still strongly believed in their current head coach, Nick Sirianni. But Lurie thought it was worth asking a confidant about Belichick. A source close to Belichick said the coach would have been interested. Roseman told ESPN he had a conversation with Belichick, a check-in, to see how the coach was doing after he was out in New England. A source close to Belichick confirmed there was no talk during the call about working for the Eagles. So they made sure not to do any sort of tampering or legal stuff.
No, I just called to see how he was doing. Hey, how you doing? How the kids?
Just saying hi. Yeah, how's the family?
100%, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. Still, this is from the article. Still, there was chatter in league circles that Philadelphia and Belichick could be a match. Now, here's why, apparently, it was not. The Eagles still thought that Belichick had his fastball, who had nearly beat them in the opener of the 2023 season, but Lurie wondered to a confidant, was it worth overhauling the building, changing personnel and philosophies on everything from training staff to salary cap structure for someone who might only coach for 2 years? There's a lot here. There was a conversation that we had in January. Should they do it? Would they do it? All that kind of stuff. It's pretty obvious they thought about this, Hugh. They asked around. They talked to Belichick. And it came to the determination they didn't think he was done as a coach. They just wondered if it was worth upheaving everything for a couple, just, you know, a short burst.
Yeah, and that's what it is, because I think there was somewhere in the story they talked about he only got 15 games left to pass. Who was it, Coach Shula?
Mm-hmm.
Coach Shula is the all-time winningest coach, and they were kind of worried about whether or not he just wanted to hang around to do that, and they didn't want to upheave their whole coaching staff, their scouting department, and all other stuff. The bottom line to me is this. When you look at Coach Belichick's resume and what he's been able to accomplish in New England, I feel like that's a no-brainer. This screams to me like nobody wanted to turn over their organization to a guy who they didn't feel that was all in. But, boy, I tell you, if with the talent that we have for the potential outcome of the winning, I think I would have gone ahead and took that one. Because, I mean, I look at the NFL like this anyway. Like, you got five-year spurts where you have a Super Bowl window, and then you have to figure out how to stay relevant until you get back into that window. That's kind of how all teams are built. You look at the Buffalo Bills, for example. Some would argue that they're probably out of their window. They missed their window. They missed their window when they went to the AFC Championship game against Cincinnati Bengals, and they came up short. So they did that twice, if I'm not mistaken. They did it with the – was it they beat Kansas City one? No, that was – I'm thinking about Cincinnati.
Still. Yeah, no. So, thinking Bills about Buffalo. Have lost to the Chiefs and the Bengals.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's what it was, the Chiefs and the Bengals, yeah. But so some would say that they're probably out of their championship window.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking like maybe if Belichick is here and we get one Super Bowl appearance, that I think that's worth it if he's only here for two seasons.
Well, of course. I mean,
and then you look at his his resume is impeccable. It's amazing. Like, the thing I find funny about all of this, you talk about Robert Kraft and the success that he's had with Coach Belichick being there. Like, I don't understand how rich people operate, because he poo-pooed a guy that helped build his empire, like, was right there from the New England Patriots are not talked about the way they're being talked about, in my opinion, if it wasn't for Bill Belichick. Let me just go a little bit further, because I know we've been talking about this. I haven't seen the documentary. I've seen some of the snippets of some of the guys that have talked about Coach Belichick. And I just find it hard to believe that a guy that has given so much to so many different individuals that probably weren't going to be as successful as they were with him had so much negative to say about him. I just find that fascinating. I find it fascinating how certain guys that if they played with other teams wouldn't be talked about or revered the way that they are had so many negative things to say about the way that he coached. And the fact that when you talk about that Patriots team, at what, 9 Super Bowl, like 8 championships, 7 championships, 10 appearances?
6 titles he won with the Patriots.
Something like that, yeah. That, to me, is cause enough just to show that man all kind of – you know what it reminds me of? When Bobby Knight was coaching back in the day. Probably a lot of people don't understand that. And when he became a dinosaur, when the younger players that he coached didn't like his coaching style. And then all the older players – had to come to his defense, like the Isaiah Thomas and guys like that, yeah. Talked about how great he was for him. Coaching has changed, man, and I just find it fascinating that people are willing to poo-poo on a guy who's giving you so much.
So
it's crazy.
Two major things that stood out to me. One, the Eagles investigated this. This was not make-believe. They investigated it. If I'm Nick Sirianni, I do not feel secure right now.
You shouldn't have felt secure.
But I especially don't feel secure. So there was another part of the article where it said, all right, he's not going to coach this year, Bill Belichick, but next year he still wants to, and he's got three teams on his radar. The Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the New York Giants. Three teams, obviously, that all could have new coaches next year. I mean, the Giants stink, and Dable's run could be over. McCarthy's on the hot seat every year. I can't believe they kept him anyway. And we know with Sirianni off of last year, he certainly could be gone if they have a tough year or don't make the playoffs or whatever. So Belichick's still circling this thing. The Eagles thought about it. I wouldn't feel secure if I was Sirianni. And then, I mean, reading some of these, the reasons these teams didn't want to bring him in, like the Falcons or whoever, or the Commanders. Josh Harris wanted to set up the structure like the Sixers, which just like, holy moly. Think about that, what I just said. But I think some of the, you said, you know how rich people think? Hugh, I know how egotistical people think. They don't want it to not be about them. Because if these front office people let Belichick in, who gets all the credit?
Belichick.
Bill. I think it's ego. It's ego-driven. The Robert Kraft thing is ego-driven.
Yeah.
He wants all the credit for the Patriots.
And I think the bottom line is this. It's about winning. Like, for me, It's about winning championships.
It should be that way for every team.
It's about winning championships. And if Bill Belichick gives me the best chance to win a championship in this short window that I have, I'm okay with that. Like, the structure of the NFL and the way things are done change per your personnel. We have a quarterback. I think that this is a quarterback-driven league. We feel right now, and it's still up in the air, that we have the quarterback of the future. And in that window that we have Jalen Hurts, we have at least 2 to 3 more seasons where we feel like we are in that Super Bowl window where we can actually win one. If we get Coach Belichick to come in and change everything and win, I'm okay with that. It's been done before. John Gruden did it with the Raiders. First year there, 1-1. I mean, so it's not like it's impossible to do because it has been
done.
No,
it has, and it's not impossible.
But to your point, when it feels like it does feel a little ego-driven because you didn't want him to get all the accolades. So you decide, you know what, nah, I don't want to hire him.
So I also, you know, part of me also wonders if the Eagles just didn't want to turn over the way they do things. I mean, it would, if I read this article this morning and it said the Eagles viewed Belichick as past his prime, they just don't think he's a great coach anymore. Like a lot of great coaches at the end, he's just not as good.
Mm-hmm.
I would, okay. I mean, that's their assessment, whether or not I agree or not. Okay, I get it. But it says in here the Eagles still think this guy's a great coach. They just didn't want upheaval everything. They like the way they do. It reminds me, when we had this discussion in January, people were like, they'll never bring him in because there can never be a coach with power here because Howie needs the power.
That's what it kind of feels like.
It does.
And that's why it kind of feels like Coach Sirianni is still here. That's why this year is going to be so pivotal to see how this works out for Jalen and for Coach Sirianni.
There's a lot of boom or bust to this
season.
Yeah,
it is. It is. And that's why it's interesting to see when Howie sits there and talks about the young guys and how excited they are about the young guys. Joey, a lot of these young guys are going to play. Like, whomever we pick as our first-round draft pick, he's going to play. I would even venture to say that second-round and that third-round pick. You talk about 53 guys. There's going to be – we got to pick from the 53 with the first three picks that we have, some 53 good players. I got a feeling. Like, and this goes back to what I said a while ago. Those three guys, you got to get at least three guys in this draft that are going to play, contribute.
Well, the pressure's on. I mean, after reading this
yes,
article, the pressure's on Sirianni, the pressure's on Howie, the pressure is on. We might look back on this as one of the most comical things in NFL history. And I don't just mean the Eagles. Like, the Atlanta Falcons chose Raheem Morris. And I think he could still be a good coach.
No, he is, and he has a tremendous upside.
The Carolina Panthers chose Dave Canales. Like, we might look back on this as these teams really talked themselves out of Bill Belichick when he was available. It's amazing.
Because it's not about winning. It's about who gets the credit for winning.
They didn't want him. I mean, it seems just that they didn't want him.
We should all be relieved that Bill Belichick is not the head coach of the Eagles right now. Because they're right. Bill Belichick does get personnel control when he's here. Not only that, we're probably dealing with another year of Matt Patricia as the defensive coordinator. And his good buddy Josh McDaniel is the offensive coordinator.
But those guys won together.
Those guys are garbage.
They won together.
They're not winners. Neither of them have jobs right now, do they?
No, they won together.
No, all three of them do not have jobs right now.
Right, I know.
Because you know what happened? Bill Belichick got personnel control over the Patriots and decimated the roster.
But he wouldn't have had personnel control
here. Bill Belichick
is
cooked. The guy is going to limp his way to beating Don Shula's record. He's like the LeBron of the NFL right now. It's a joke where he's just adding to his total numbers.
Did I miss something?
You're the what? There is a practical joke going on around here on me. I think all of you have gotten together and say, let's just see how annoyed Gilio could get if we say we don't want Belichick, we don't want Trout, we don't want LeBron, we don't want the best.
I just think you think it's 10 years ago.
No,
like you jumped in a time machine and all of a sudden it's 2014.
I know what year it is, okay? It's 2024. The issue is I'm taking what these guys are compared to what I have now. No, I understand someone, he's not as great as he was 10 years ago. I've got Nick Sirianni now.
Oh, yeah, who's the guy who's been to a Super Bowl more recently than Bill Belichick?
Did you watch yesterday's press conference? You feel good about that guy?
I saw my head coach get to a Super Bowl more recently than Bill Belichick.
Yeah, with this roster.
I saw him win 11 games last year, and Bill Belichick win how many?
I mean, Coach Belichick, playoff experience,
this
man.
Is unbelievable.
I mean,
Coach Belichick is a has-been.
Well, the Eagles didn't think that. Apparently, the Eagles just didn't want to uproot the way they do things.
Look,
they still think he has his fastball.
I think part of that is just, like, this is what we know about Howie Roseman. He calls everybody. He taps into every possible avenue.
But he did make this phone call while he had a head coach. I mean, if I'm Nick Sirianni, I don't
feel
great.
That's just like saying you have a girlfriend, but you're going to call numbers just to see where her head's at.
Yeah, just say hi.
I didn't ask to date her. I just took her out for a couple of drinks and asked her what you've been up to.
How's the actual girlfriend going to feel about that?
Yeah, I don't think the actual girlfriend's going to feel good about it.
Yeah, I don't either. 215-592-949.
I should dump myself.
Your reaction.
Yeah, you should. I was surprised you went as far as you did with that one.
We towed the line there. All right, your reaction to the Belichick story. The Eagles investigated it. Howie talked to him, apparently not actually about the job. Eagles still think he has his fastball, but they didn't want to uproot the way they do things around here. And, of course, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid. It's a legacy game tonight for Joel. Your gut feeling on this game, Phillies as well, and the Reddick thing. I mean, I know there's people out there that have talked themselves into the Reddick thing. Crazies out there this morning. Mikey, what's up, Mikey?
Mikey,
hey,
with us.
What's up, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up? Hey, first of all, awesome show, man. I listen to you guys every morning out here during the week.
Oh, Mikey, so, we appreciate that, man. What are you thinking?
Yeah, heck yeah. I'm thinking, I know I sound crazy about Bryce Huff and Hassan Reddick, but we got to get young and we got to move forward. And I know you said it was going to work this year, but this is kind of the last year where we're, like, shedding off, like, our older players. Like, we're getting younger at corner. Obviously, defensive line does go into your secondary. If our defensive line is moving and getting to a quarterback, then, yeah, our secondary is going to look better. But maybe Hassan Reddick just wasn't working with what we got going forward.
Well, the Eagles determined that, Mikey. I mean, they didn't think it was worth it. I mean, to pay him the money, to keep him on the roster. And look, that's why the pressure's going to be on guys like Nolan Smith to play well, Bryce Huff to play well, to be worth the money. And Howie, right? Like, if this defense is not good enough, we're going to look at Howie.
Yeah, he's going to be looking at him crazy if he's not good enough.
Yeah, we're all kind of looking at him crazy. Because last year the guys couldn't even tackle, man. You know what I mean? Like, I watched every single Eagles game since I've been a fan, since I've been a kid, man. And this last playoff game that they played against the Buccaneers, I'd even watch it. Because I already knew the way everything was going, the way they just quit. Like, didn't even watch it, man. So, you know, that was kind of tough.
Well, it was more than tough, Mikey. It was the defense at the end last year was embarrassing. I mean, they didn't tackle anybody. They didn't cover anybody. They didn't
even seem like they were even interested in tackling anybody.
They made Tyrod Taylor look good. They made Baker Mayfield look great. It was terrible.
Terrible, you know. So all I gotta say is being an Eagles fan this whole time. I've been an Eagles fan since I was shit a kid, and I stay out here in California. So that's kind of random in Southern California. There's not too many of us, man. I didn't grow up in Philly. I've been there a couple times. Been to some games at the Link. Been to tailgates. And to be honest with you, man, just to see that and to see what the Eagles have right now, we've never seen this. We've never seen a receiver since T.O. like A.J. Brown. You know, we had DeSean Jackson. Now we got Devontae Smith, an upgraded receiver off of that. Even though DeSean Jackson did what he did, man, we got badass tight end. Saquon Barkley, there's no reason we shouldn't be in that last game. There's no reason other than this defense falling apart on us.
Well, the defense, right. I mean, Mikey, they have enough on offense. Yeah. I think we all realize, like, you know, exactly. Playmaker-wise.
Yeah, they loaded up on.
Yeah, it's that defense. And, Mikey, we appreciate the phone call. That defense. And that's why the Reddick story is not going to go away. That's why I was confused at why Howie was seemingly annoyed yesterday. That Reddick thing is going to go until the Eagles come out and play great defense without him. Then we'll stop talking about it.
Yeah.
But until then, it's a story.
And that's probably why he was annoyed. You know, just thinking like, why is you asking me this question? But it was valid.
Yes.
Because we haven't had a chance to talk to you. About Hassan Reddick yet. So, yeah, it was a valid question.
And it's the biggest thing that's happened in the last few weeks with the Eagles.
No doubt.
I mean,
we're
looking forward to the draft, and we're doing our daily mocks, and we know all the guys they're bringing in for visits, but nothing has really happened in the last few weeks aside from the Eagles moving on from Hassan Reddick. It's a major part of this offseason. I'm surprised that Howie was as annoyed about the whole thing as he was. 215-592-9494. You know, the Eagles are probably really glad that this Belichick story came out the day after that press conference.
Because, you know, Urad would have been asking questions about that.
Well, you know what the question would have been to Howie. What did you talk to Bill Belichick about?
Yeah, what was the purpose of talking to him?
Because
why are you checking on him?
The article did say Roseman told ESPN he talked to Belichick. So it's not like it's just a rumor. Like, Roseman in this article said it. Yeah, no question. He talked to him. The Eagles talked to Bill Belichick. All right, I got a comp for you. I think Kyle might agree with this one. Kyle, you know the last time I can remember people in this city talking themselves into a move even though we knew deep down it didn't make any sense?
Jimmy Butler.
And I did that. I was wrong on Butler. I did it. I sat here like an idiot. And I said, well, yeah, I get it. Tobias Harris is young. And Jimmy Butler is a little older. And maybe he'll fall off. And it doesn't fit next to Ben Simmons. And we moved on from a really good player that didn't. And why? He wanted to be here.
That's a good comp. Even because Jimmy had a little tumultuous time when he was in Minnesota.
It was even tumultuous here. He was calling out the coach in meetings. I mean, Jimmy's a lot. I mean, I think part of why it's worked for Jimmy in Miami, Hugh, is
because of Spoelstra.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, like, there was a time where LeBron tried to get Spoelstra fired, and it didn't happen.
And Pat Riley said
yeah,
no.
Pat Riley, yeah, because he has the backing of the front office. So, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, the Butler thing worked for them. I don't know if it would have been perfectly easy here. I'm just saying, like, we did this 6 years ago. Like, yeah, whatever, let's move on from this guy. Didn't work.
You guys want this LeBron fella who tried to get Eric Spoelstra fired.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, LeBron is still play though, man.
NBA players get coaches fired all the time. Like, yeah, I'm not losing sleep over coaches.
Maybe fire the greatest coach in the NBA right now.
But he didn't, and he won with
him. Yeah, he did. He tried to get him fired.
Yeah.
You guys just invite that.
Hold up. Now we just invited.
Because this is what I always forget when we talk about the Sixers. The parades that have been rolling down Broad Street the last 5 years.
The last one.
Yeah, I must have. So let's go to Tom in Reading. Who's up? What's up, Tom?
Hey, how are you?
Good, Tom. What's up?
So I got a question. Back in 2003 is the last time before you guys won the Super Bowl in 2017, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how many quarterbacks you guys have in the process of that era?
You mean like from 03 to 17?
Yes.
A lot. I mean, from Donovan to Kevin Cobb to Nick Foles to Mark Sanchez to Michael Vick to Vince Young to, you know, we can go on for a while here. You know, Sam Bradford, Carson Wentz.
So I was talking to Kyle in the back, you know, when I was on hold and that, and he was saying about Bill Belichick, you know, washed up. I mean, he had Tom Brady. We all know Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever. You know, ever. You know what I mean? But he drafted Mac Jones. Mac Jones was a wash. All right? But just because he got fired because of it doesn't mean he's not a good coach anymore. You know what I mean? You're not going to hit every single time in a draft. You guys know that. I can see why they wanted Bill Belichick. I'm not too shocked he didn't get a job when it comes down to it. But I just thought that saying Bill Belichick's washed, Kyle in the back there saying that, I don't think that's
it's insanity.
At all. Kyle's
Tom,
an idiot.
It's insanity. We deal with a lot of insanity around here. I got
Wash is so strong.
It is strong. It's insane.
Isn't he like by definition a has-been though? He doesn't have a job. If he's this great all-time great head coach still today, why is he without a job?
You saw the story. These idiots talking about
it's all just
afraid.
A giant sabotage job by
Hold
Robert
on.
Kraft.
Robert Kraft's part of it, but can we also factor in the morons that we have part of this whole thing? Forget the Eagles. They decided to keep Sirianni. I don't think the Eagles are morons at all. Josh Harris? Arthur Blank? The guy Arthur Blank last year said we have a quarterback in Desmond Ridder when Lamar Jackson was available. Like, these people don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, but if he's the Bill Belichick you pretend he is, like, shouldn't there be a team that, like, has a coach that's like maybe on the hot seat, you know, maybe like the Eagles or the Cowboys, that would have pulled the plug, got rid of their coach, and brought in Bill Belichick if he's that much better.
I agree. All right, before we go any further.
I wonder what Robert Kraft said to Arthur Blank, though, to make him stop.
Robert Kraft's a clown. Now, this guy is a lot.
That was that Dynasty documentary thing was a joke.
He's a clown.
I mean, the way that, like, I think Belichick, as of right now, there has been, but the way they talked about him throughout those 20 years was actually a disgrace.
Egomaniac Robert Kraft is what he is. All right, can we get to a mid-show, midweek take? Because I have something on my mind.
What you got, man?
All right, my battle with traffic on 95 continues. So I have a suggestion here. And Hugh, I don't think everyone's going to like this, but sometimes, you know, to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs, all right?
Got to break a few eggs.
I don't know if you remember this, but and maybe your school was different when you were back in high school or school. But when I was in high school, the cafeteria was only so big, so we had to go in like waves.
Yeah, like first grade, second grade.
Right,
right.
I'm suggesting that for traffic in the morning on 95.
You know, so, nobody's going to hear
that. No, this is the new thing. Once a week, whatever day you get, maybe it's Monday, maybe it's Tuesday, Wednesday, you have to leave really early. We got to get the clutter out. So you're saying
like the 8 o'clock, like the people that go to work at 7 o'clock, need to be on the road
at
by
5:30.
Yes. And the 9 o'clock people need to be there at 7 on the road at 7. Miss your time,
we're going to stagger this. And if you miss your time, you stay home. I'm sorry. Or you go a different way.
How you, Joe? That sounds like a hell of a plan. How are you going to regulate this?
I haven't gotten that far yet. I'm losing it. I can't move on 95 in the morning. We have to have some sort of staggering policy here. I don't know how we're going to enforce this, but something's got to change.
You should probably just lay on the horn constantly.
You know what's funny about that? I'm not that far away now, and I'm going to look at some places later on the day.
No way. But, that's a major update.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa.
I woke up this morning.
Waited until now to tell us this?
Well, it's like, you know, you wake up one morning, you know what, and you use some colorful words, and you just say, you know what, this has to stop.
That's how I felt about traffic today. This has to stop. And there was a lot of colorful words. You.
But it's like, it all depends on the day in the city when traffic is the thickest. Because it feels like on a Monday, traffic's not that bad. And you know the mayor
Monday
has made
Friday
it.
Monday and Friday aren't that bad.
Yeah, the mayor has made it eating. Y'all got to start coming to work at least. Yeah. You know, Tuesday seems like it's off the hook.
Tuesday is the worst day without question. The midweek mid-show take sponsored by Matt Blatt Mitsubishi. Give Matt Blatt an at-bat. All right, coming up next, we'll talk to Elliot down at the NovaCare Complex. Jalen talked today. His reaction to the Bill Belichick conversation, and of course his thoughts on the Sixers and the Heat tonight, all coming up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Let's talk about my friends over at Yards, because you know what happened recently here. Everyone knows that the major news happened, the new big acquisition, Kyle Schwarber's newest teammate. Me, no, I'm not playing for the Titans, but as you've heard, I've partnered with Kyle and Yards Brewing Company's Philly Standard Beer, the tailgate beer. This season, when Kyle goes yard, beers are on Kyle. I'm feeling a home run tonight. At bars all over the air, you can enjoy a free Philly Standard the day after Kyle goes yard. Download the Yards Brewing Company app for details and participating bars. Yards Brewing Company, celebrating 30 years, made by...
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.